Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to X-Files Diaries. I'm Annie.
I'm Jen.
And today, we gave you a few weeks ago our top 10 Scully moments, and tonight, we got to bring it around full circle with Mulder. So tonight, or today, I should say, we are giving you guys our top 10 Mulder moments.
Boom.
But before we get to those, let's read the tweets of the week. Leia wants to hear them.
He's made outrageous public statements on an internet site.
That wasn't him. That was me. And they're not outrageous.
Okay, tweets of the week. These are in response to our interview with Fiona. Hi, Fiona, about queer representation on The X-Files. And it was a super interesting conversation and not surprisingly led to some super interesting responses. So thanks, everybody, for that. The first one is from Monica. Hey, Monica. Monica says, I really enjoy this. I wholeheartedly wish there was more of a consistent queer presence established on the show, aka Monica is a bisexual character, and agree there could have been a much more positive spin on what was given. I love Steve and Edie so much. Genderbender really confused me as a young girl, wholly struggling with my own sexuality at the time. It left me with this sense of dismissal that people of the same gender should not share a bed without stigma. I really appreciated X-Cops and all things for a much more accepting portrayal. Thanks, Monica. Those are all really, really solid points. And you've just kind of like given voice to sort of a lot of the points that Fiona was making about the impact of representation on viewers, especially when you're sort of a young person struggling with your identity. So I appreciate you sharing that story with us and for relating to the topic that we were discussing. And I'm glad that we had at least a couple of half-decent things later on in the season. What did you think about that, Annie?
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree with her. I wish there was more representation. I mean, like we said on the podcast, it's hard to fault them like before a certain time period just because, unfortunately, that was just the way media was. But after a certain time period, you can. Yeah. Like what she said about Monica. Yeah, there's no excuse that they couldn't have made Monica a bisexual character.
Especially, would have been so easy.
Yeah, especially if that was in discussion, which I feel like it was. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I read that somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, and then certainly in the revival, yeah, there's just no excuse. Yeah. So
excellent points. Really great to hear your story on that one, Monica. From Karen. Hey, Karen. What a fantastic episode. Thank you. It's such a pleasure to hear Fiona's perspective, and I think it's great that we can look at the show we love through a critical lens and recognize its flaws while also acknowledging the positive impact it had on its queer fan base despite those flaws. Yeah, that's well put, Karen.
Yeah.
I love the comparison between the subtext in MSR and the subtext you see in queer-coded media when writers have traditionally been unable to fully explore queer relationships due to network restrictions and fear of societal backlash, and how the audience creatively fills in the blanks. Yeah. I also think it's valid for there to be sexual tension between two same-sex characters without either of them necessarily identifying as gay, bi, pan, etc. Sexuality isn't black and white, and some humans just have inexplicable chemistry despite sexual orientation. So basically what I'm saying is there's definite sexual tension between Mulder and Krycek, even though I don't think Mulder would ever act on it. So I can embrace it without feeling it's any kind of threat to the MSR, though Krycek strikes me as bi as fuck. Thank you, Karen. Those are all really, really interesting points and really valid points. And I'm with Karen on the Mulder Krycek thing. There is just something going on between those two boys. And yeah, I don't think it's anything like serious within the context of the show that threatens the MSR, but there's a little bzz, bzz, when I see them together. So, and I think she makes like a good point that they, you know, you can have sexual chemistry with anybody. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have sex with them.
Yeah.
But you can have sexual chemistry with anybody. If it's there, it is there. And gender doesn't necessarily come into it.
Yeah, there's definitely, don't get me wrong, there's definitely a wellspring of visual stuff between Mulder and Krycek that people, yeah, who are searching for that within the subtext can find. I am not here to say that there isn't. It's just, yeah, I just don't read Mulder as a bisexual character. So
Fair enough.
There's the actual labeling of characters, and then what we see in terms of chemistry, which are two different things.
Yeah.
So,
well, absolutely. And the chemistry is the chemistry. And it's just, it can't be explained or quantified.
And I agree about Krychek.
Yeah, he definitely. Yeah. Which leads to my next tweet from Peacenik. Peacenik says, I believe Krychek is coded as a bisexual man with a crush on Mulder. For me, MK/fic is about sex, fantasy, and exploring the complicated relationship between those two characters. For me, it doesn't threaten MSR because MSR can withstand anything. I agree wholeheartedly with Peacenik on this one, actually, that because I've read some of the Mulder Krychek/fic, and yeah, it is just like it's nothing to do with, you know, romance or anything along those lines for me. So I don't see it as really having anything to do with MSR because it almost takes place in a different universe as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, it's just like, let's see these hot boys getting it on and then let's just enjoy that for what it is. And that's it. And so, yeah, I totally see where Peacenik is coming from on this.
Yeah, it's a fair reading of if you want to just have this exploration in fantasy. Obviously, this is something that is popular. So it's, you know, it is what it is. Hey.
Yeah, whatever turns your crank, and man, those boys turn my crank. But yeah, I'm not going to like be super into a fanfic where they like, you know, get married and adopt a baby. That's not necessarily what I'm interested in with those two. If they're not having some kind of like hot, slightly kinky sex, then I'm not really going to be that interested.
On a visceral level, I get it. On a character level, not at all.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's exactly kind of where I'm at. So yeah, visceral is a good word for it. Woohoo! Yeah. I'm getting a little warm over here. So thanks everybody for your tweets. As always, thanks for your responses and for your thoughts. We always appreciate it. Tweet at us anytime at XFD Podcast. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on the show, on our show, the X-Files show, and any other show. And we appreciate hearing from you guys about all those things. So thank you very much.
Mulder, the internet is not good for you.
Well, Jen, it's Agent Fox Mulder's turn.
Woohoo!
I had a lot of fun putting together this list. I mean, obviously putting together Scully list too was just so much fun that I was just really thrilled to turn it over to our main man Mulder and compile all of his fun or greatest, I just say greatest moments. I am super excited.
Anyway.
Yeah. I am. There were so many. I don't know how hard this was for you. This was really hard for me. I know you have more of an affinity for Scully. I have more of an affinity for Mulder. So this, I had at least like 25 and I had to narrow it down to 10, which was kind of heartbreaking. But
That's the way I was with Scully, is I think I probably started with about 25. I wasn't that way with Mulder, because you're right. I do have more of an affinity for Scully. It was kind of a challenge for me to think about Mulder and think about his top moments, because it kind of really got me thinking about what do I like about Mulder exactly.
Yeah.
And so this really helps to kind of distill that down.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very interesting exercise.
I had, and I mean, we're going to go through the lists, obviously, but I just wanted to throw this out there. I had a lot of revival Mulder in my short list, or I don't know why they call it the short list, because it's actually your longer list. But
well, it's shorter than 218 episodes.
That's true.
Yeah, you got it down from 218 to like 25.
Yeah, but I had to cut quite a bit because I was just like, okay, well, this entire list can't be revival Mulder, and obviously there are plenty of great pre-revival Mulder moments. So, but yeah. I did want to point that out because I was finding that happening, and I was not very surprised by that.
Not, and you know what? At one point when I started off my list, I was seriously considering doing all revival Mulder because I was coming up with so many revival moments that I thought this could be just kind of an interesting twist. And I'm just going to see how long it takes for everyone to figure out these are all revival and there's not a single one that turns out not to be from the revival. But then I thought, and I'm like, nah, there's quite good ones pre-revival too. So I can't leave out some of those classic ones for me. So I did find some pre-revival, but I could easily have done top 10 revival Mulder because he is primo in his middle years.
Oh, yes. Well, I cannot wait to hear yours. So I think that you should start, Jen.
Woohoo! Okay. Number 10 from the revival.
Ooh.
This one is from season 10. And it's from the episode Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster. And it's the part where Mulder is sharing his theories while pacing around Scully's motel room. Let's have a little listen to how that went down.
What if this creature that we've stumbled upon is here to create a whole new paradigm for our understanding of life itself? Or maybe science was used to create this unnatural being. Maybe this is some GMO experiment run amok by some military agro big pharma corporation. Maybe this guy is its chief geneticist who recklessly experimented on himself and now transforms into a fiend who needs to feast on human flesh. To which I know you're going to say, but Mulder, that sounds like the paranoid ravings of some lunatic madman. I don't know what this thing is, Scully, and I don't know exactly how it came to be. All I'm saying is it's a monster.
Yeah, this is how I like my Mulder.
So you're agreeing with me?
No! You're bat crap crazy.
So, yeah, I think this is like one of the sort of classic Mulder moments for me. I mean, it's almost like just this close to being a parody of himself, but not quite. Because he's sort of acting out both sides of the conversation, what he would say, and then like to which I know you're going to say, and Scully is just sitting there, just kind of enjoying his one man show of how their whole conversation would go. But it's just so really well done and really well acted by David Duchovny. And I mean, yeah, of course, Scully, that's the way she likes her Mulder. And I guess that's the way I like my Mulder, too, because I find that always extremely charming. And the bonus at the end is after they've had that conversation when Mulder says, the first thing we need to do, though, is check out of this motel, which just kind of like is just like the bow on the gift that is that scene. So that's my number 10 of the top 10 Mulder moments for me.
That's a really great one. And you know why I really like that one is because I feel like when we had the revival, when we came into season 10 and it wasn't really what anybody was expecting, which is always kind of interesting when people do things that way and entertaining. But he wasn't really the Mulder that we remember. You know, he's kind of withdrawn. He's a little like jaded, I would say. I don't know, yeah. My struggle one, but like Founder's Mutation, he starts to kind of find himself again, and then in Weremonster it's like he's kind of having this sort of crisis what does Scully call it, like this crisis of belief, or she's like, I know you're going through a moment.
Yeah
And so this was the moment in that episode, I feel like, where he kind of got his mojo back.
It was, and that's why Scully liked it so much.
And it really, I think this really kind of was the beginning of revival Mulder as we know him.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, he definitely had some moments in Founder's Mutation, which we might get to later. But I feel like this was the moment where we were like, okay, Mulder's back. And so I thought that was why it was so great that they ended that bit with Scully saying, that's how I like my Mulder. Because you know what? This is how we all like our Mulder. And we missed him. And it was, it's a great one. It's a great moment.
Slightly crazy, slightly ranting, super passionate, super excited Mulder. That's just entertaining. And that is our Mulder. So that's my number 10. What is your number 10, Annie?
All right. Well, my number 10 is from the episode The Truth. And the truth, as you all know, is not a high point, I think. It's not a Mulder high point for me for the most part. But it definitely has its moments. And its main moment, I think, is in the jail cell when Mulder just walks right over and plants a big one on Scully right in front of Skinner. I know that this is like, it's not even cheating, because I'm not saying like, oh, it's just because of the kiss or whatever. It's Mulder has been away from Scully for a long ass time. He misses the shit out of her. And he's like, I am not going to wait anymore. I don't care that Skinner's here. I'm planting a kiss on my gal. And we're really going to lean into it too, which they do. And I'm sorry, Leia really enjoys the kiss as well. And here she is.
Yeah, well, she has good taste.
And I just think it's such a great moment of for Mulder to, especially after being absent an entire season, for us to be like, okay, even especially because the beginning of that episode is a little frustrating too, because we're not really getting any of the MSR we want. We're like, what is happening? This is all wrong. Don't let this be three words, part two. This is all wrong. We need our reunion. And so I feel like Mulder decided to give us that reunion. And I think it's a super important moment in an otherwise Mulderless season. Oh my, and Leia has a lot of things to say. She's going to go airborne again, Jen.
Okay. the camera angle you're at makes it look like she's just taking flight. I love it every time.
And she's already back, in case you're wondering. She does not give any shits.
It's like, how could that be the same cat? She just flew away and she's back again immediately.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. That's just the way I am today.
Just, she's airborne like Mulder and Scully's love, and that's how we bring it back around to my number 10.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that is brilliant. That's a really great moment. I tend to think of that as an MSR moment, but you're right. It there's also a tremendous Mulder aspect to that, because he's just like, he's the one certainly initiating all that. And you're right. He's just like, boom, I'm just showing everyone that this is my woman and I don't care who knows it. And plus it's like the hottest kiss in X-Files history, in my opinion. So
agreed.
There's that. And yeah, great point. That's a great point that is a great Mulder moment. It's on him. He gets all the credit for it. Kudos to him. And yeah, we waited a long time for some Mulder content, and there was some primo Mulder content in that moment. So good choice. Excellent choice for your number 10. Hooray.
All right, Jen, what is your number 9?
On to number 9. My number 9 is from an episode that would rarely make its way into a top 10 list of mine, unless it was a top 10. I wish this episode had never happened, but it's from the episode Emily.
I knew you were going to say that.
How did you know that?
Because it was very close to making it. And as soon as you said that, I'm like, I know what she's going to pick. Okay, go for it. What is the moment?
Will it be the same moment? Probably. The moment I picked, it's at the beginning of the episode when Mulder meets Emily for the first time.
Oh, that's not the moment I was going to pick, but that's a great one. Sorry, continue.
Mulder meets Emily for the first time, and she's very shy. But Mulder always has a great way with kids, and he just develops this instant rapport with her. And the best part is when he makes the Mr. Potato Head face, and his face tremendously looks like Mr. Potato Head. He just does a very, very excellent job. I would laugh at that too as a shy child. So it's just a great moment. He's funny and sweet, and I just love the way he clicks with kids. It's like, breaks my heart, you know, Mulder, he's meant to be a dad. It's beautiful. And I don't much care for that episode otherwise, but I love that moment. But you have another Emily moment by the sounds of things.
Well, I do wanted to say too that like Scully was just absolutely charmed by that.
Was she not?
I mean, she was totally standing Father Mulder. I shouldn't say Father Mulder. Dad Mulder.
Mulder. There was definitely like, hearts were flying out of her eyes at that moment, as they were mine.
Yeah. That's a fantastic one that I did not pick. And you know what? I can mention my Emily moment too, because it's not on my list since we're talking about it.
And now you get an opportunity to mention it.
Well, I thought you were going to say the moment where he kicks the shit out of that doctor, because that was like,
oh shit. Yeah, that's really good too.
That was hot. Okay. I'm trying to think of the moments where, I mean, there are many moments where Mulder like just loses his shit and like just beat someone up, which is super hot. But like that one in particular, I just love it, because it's like you see him planning it. Like, he's just sitting there and he's like, okay, thanks for your time. And then he just like wails
on
him.
He just goes for it. And it's all for Scully.
Yeah.
And I love that. Scully.
I love that. And yeah, so taking it back to your moment, like, honestly, I agree with you in terms of Emily not being one of those episodes that I enjoy going back to. Although I did rewatch it recently for reasons, and I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I did the last time I watched it. So maybe it just depends on the kind of mood that I'm in. But I just remember, like, because Christmas Carol was the first part of that two-parter, and it has no Mulder. So it's almost like Mulder shows up in Emily and then has to kind of make up for his absence. And he sure does. He sure does in Emily.
You know what? Mulder is pretty great in Emily. He's just, like, very sensitive, he's being really smart. It's a very difficult situation that he's walked into. It's fraught with problems, and he does a magnificent job. He's a very appealing Mulder in that episode, actually. So
yeah,
I tend to agree with you that I think that it's a lot about the mood you're in when you watch that episode, because I just find it. You know, I love the angst, but that one is just a little too depressing for me sometimes. So maybe I just have to make sure my serotonin is nice and level when I'm watching that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, yeah, even like he obviously there are things that Mulder does in this episode that aren't great, or at least things that are revealed that he has done that aren't great. But like, he does what he can and he explains himself the best he can. And And I don't think Scully does either, begrudge him any of that. So
No.
Yeah. So it's worth pointing out that Emily Mulder is a top-notch Mulder. Yes.
He's a pretty great Mulder. So yeah, it makes up for the lack of Mulder in Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
What is your number 9, Annie?
All right. Well, my number 9 is from the episode Paper Hearts.
Oh.
And you really just have to hear it. So let's hear the clip.
I profiled you. I got inside your head. Maybe you got inside mine. Maybe some nexus or connection was formed between us. And through that, you got access to my memories of my sister Samantha. And you used them against me for this.
You're just resisting me.
And you're in the wrong house, you stupid son of a bitch. You were never here, you liar.
So that is Mulder and Jean Lee Roche in Mulder's summer house, although the fake summer house, as we learn, because Roche does not know and is totally messing with Mulder. And Mulder calls his ass on it and goes, "You're in the wrong house, you stupid son of a bitch." And it is so satisfying. It's one of those moments that I'm like, yeah, you go, Mulder. And I don't want to say it's not Mulder, because it is very Mulder to sort of just lose your cool in a moment, but it feels kind of like a slightly Duchovny moment in the midst of a Mulder moment, which I love when he does that and it doesn't take me out of it. It actually adds to the character. Like he's very heightened, obviously. He's very concerned that this guy might have kidnapped Samantha and killed her. You know what I mean? And he's thrilled to be able to convince himself that that's not what happened, even though he kind of maybe wants to know the truth. He doesn't want this to be the truth. So I think in that moment, he's kind of relieved. He's relieved that he's proven this guy wrong and they can all just get on with their life, you know. And it's just such a great, satisfying outburst from Mulder. And I don't know why I always think of it when I think of my favorite Mulder moment. So that's my number 9.
That's a really great choice. I love it, especially because up until that moment in that scene, the audience, and certainly for me watching it, I feel like Mulder's probably falling for it, because, you know, he's given Roche kind of the benefit of the doubt up until now. And I'm like, oh, come on, Mulder, don't fall for this guy's bullshit. And it's so nice to find out that he has not, in fact, fallen for his bullshit. And you don't often get that from Mulder necessarily, sort of demonstrating that he has, in fact, proven someone to be wrong, someone that he wanted to believe. And to be able to do it so, so bluntly and, as you say, satisfyingly, it's really quite enjoyable to watch. And it just reminds us that, you know, Mulder's not a dummy. He wants to believe, but he also is smart enough to figure out when someone is taking him for a ride. So I loved that moment. It was great. And yeah, just really well done all the way around. Well written and really well acted. So great choice for your number 9. I love that. So far, no overlaps at all for us.
No,
we don't know what we've picked.
You know, we didn't even really guess. Let's do, since we did it with Scully, and I know we're already 4 in, or we're already 4 in. Yeah. Let's guess. How many do you think we're going to have in common?
Well, I'm thinking 3.
Okay,
I'm not too sure now.
I'll say 2.
I would have said 3 before we started, but the fact that we've gotten through 4 choices and haven't had anything in common yet, Makes me wonder if it will be less than that, but it's hard to say. We're very hard to predict.
I'm thinking that you're probably right. I would say 3 is a good guess, but since I don't want to say the same number for you, I'm going to be a little more optimistic and say 2. Okay.
Okay. And earlier today, you thought we might have both the same number 1. The more I'm thinking about it, though, the more I'm thinking maybe we don't.
You don't? Okay. Well, I'll be curious to see, because I think, I definitely think my number 1's on your list, though. I will say that.
We shall see.
Okay. All right.
That, we were really sure about that with the Scully top 10, and neither of our number ones were on the other's list.
That's true. It's a good point.
So not only were they not the same number ones, they weren't even on the list.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
We're very hard to figure out. We are a puzzle and a mystery. So we shall see.
I got to say, though, if this is not on your list, I'm just going to hang up my hat, because that's how sure I am.
I'm a little scared now. I've all of a sudden had a flash of what your number one might be. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be in trouble, because if it's what I think it might be, it's not even on my list.
Okay.
And we shall see.
All right. We'll see. Let's hear your number 8.
If there's just like dead air all of a sudden, it's just because Annie has just cut me off. And it's just like, no, this podcast is over.
Well, you tell me, though, if you think that if you're like, well, that's the one I thought it would be, and nope, I didn't put it on the list, then we can talk about it. So, all right.
We're going to talk it out.
Yes.
Okay. Number 8. My number 8, it's from the revival, from season 11, the episode This. And it's specifically, it's a little bit of an odd little moment. It's not that odd, but it's not particularly well known, I don't think. After it's at the end of the episode, after Mulder has had his fight in the hallway with like that henchman guy, and then he goes back into the room where Scully is, and he's like so like out of breath, beat up. He's like, holy crap. I mean, first I love the fact that he starts the conversation with, I got my phone back. And it's like, he's just so pleased with himself. And it looks like he's about to collapse, but he's still quite happy. But my favorite moment in the scene is when he just kind of pauses for a moment. Scully's like, what up? And Mulder says, I thought I was going to throw up for a second, but I'm okay. And I love that moment. I mean, like, as a middle-aged person, I can so identify with that feeling of, I thought I could do this physical activity, but I'm actually going to throw up instead. And so that was just like, I feel you, Mulder, right now. I love that. I love that. Like, I thought that was kind of a fun aspect of the revival, that they didn't shy away from the fact that they were a bit older. And, you know, Mulder thinks he can still kind of have a fight the way he always did, but he can't quite keep up as much as he did. But he's like, he considers it a victory that he didn't throw up at the end of it. So, like, kudos to him. He still got the job done and he didn't throw up. So I just find that a very amusing moment for me personally, for sure. And it just seems very Mulder. And we get a lot of Scully chest touching of Mulder in that scene, which I also really enjoy.
Yeah.
So love it. That's my number 8 of Mulder moments.
That's a good one. And I think also that comes off, you know, obviously, like you just said, it comes off the heels of him kicking all this ass all over the place and actually being quite effective.
Yeah.
So like you said, like, yeah, he's tired. He's old. He's not really he can't do it like he used to, apparently, even though it looks like he can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember that particular moment of them with her just like touching him for no reason at all, other than she wants to touch him, because you can't blame her. And then when he's about to throw up on her, and she even makes a face kind of like, okay, like, please don't, like,
but
yeah, it's very cute. That's a really good moment.
That is very cute. So yeah, no, it's, yeah, I love that moment. Actually, I love the whole episode. So I had to pick something from this, and this was what I picked. What is your number 8, Annie?
My number 8 is from season 2, from the episode Irresistible.
Okay.
And I think this is, again, it's hard to like separate this from being an MSR moment, but I think this is a very Mulder moment, because at the very, very end, when he's comforting Scully and he's saying, are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. And he makes the active decision to reach out and make her look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely a Mulder moment, because it's that action that allows her to break down and to let him comfort her. And I don't think, if he hadn't done that, then maybe that moment never would have happened. And maybe they wouldn't have had this little mini breakthrough here. And again, I have to chalk that up to Mulder, because I think that was his doing. I mean, he's seen how she's been behaving the entire episode. He's not oblivious to it. And I think it's just a very, very nice Mulder is conscious of Scully's feelings moment. And I'm not suggesting that that doesn't happen. It does. But this is just one of those moments where it's very, very poignant and very meaningful. And he is the one who instigates that MSR moment. And I applaud him for it. So that's my number 8.
That is so good. I'm getting a little misty-eyed now just thinking about that because it's so great. And that's a really good point that it is all kind of – it's initiated by Mulder. It would have been very easy for him just to kind of say, okay, she says she's fine and I don't want to push it right now, so we're just going to leave it at that. Because I think you're right that
– he does that. Sorry to interrupt, but he does that quite frequently.
He does that quite frequently. They both do. And that's, you know, that's often the way that they operate. And – the fact that he wasn't willing to let it slide this time.
Right.
That was a lot of courage on his part to do that. And it was, you know, still quite early in their relationship and like swoon, do I ever love that scene. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. It's when he kind of forces her to make eye contact with him. That's when she breaks down because she can kind of pull it off. And it's like, he makes that move. He initiates that, and that he has that kind of that instinct that he knows that that's what he needs to get from her right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could have just berated her and said, "Are you sure?"
Yeah.
But he knows that as soon as, you know, he needs to just look her in the eye, and that's what's going to, because that's what they're all about, right? There's so much about Mulder and Scully that's about eye contact and unspoken communication, and that's what does it in this case. And he knows their relationship well enough, and he knows Scully well enough to know that that's what she needs at that moment to really be honest with him.
And he still allows it. He knows her well enough to allow it to be her decision, to allow it to be her choice to fall apart.
That's right.
And she does, and she needs it, and he knows she needs it. And it's just a really nice moment, like you said, of communication between the two of them, especially so early. I mean, I feel like lots of stuff changed for them post-abduction, and this was pretty close to post-abduction when she was returned, and I feel like a lot of things were different between them, even just subconsciously. Yeah, so I appreciate moments like this where you can see the progression, and there's a lot of unspoken stuff, and this is a wonderful, wonderful Chris Carter-penned episode, and this is just such a great moment in it, and I just had to give Mulder a little shout-out for it.
Good choice. Damn, that's a good episode. That is, and you know, I was thinking of a couple of Mulder moments throughout Irresistible. Didn't quite make it onto my list, but he's in good shape in Irresistible. He's sharp. He's concerned about Scully. He's on top of things. He's funny sometimes. He's a very appealing Mulder in that episode.
Yeah,
so.
He's a very perfect version of Mulder in that episode. Yeah,
especially for such an early season. So, love it. Great, great choice.
Thank you.
All right, on to number 7. My number 7 is from season 1, from the episode Fallen Angel. And it's at the end of the episode, the second to last scene. Mulder is in front of the OPR, as Mulder and Scully frequently find themselves throughout the X-Files, which is the Office of Professional Review.
Yeah.
And Mulder gets a chance to make a little nice Mulder speech, kind of, to the hearing at the end of that, of his sort of the hearing that they're holding to sort of hold him to account for what he's done throughout the episode. And so let's have a listen to what he says.
Then what can I say? How can I disprove lies that are stamped with an official seal?
That will be all, Mr. Mulder.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there. And no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.
So that's just like a very good Mulder speech. I think of this as being sort of his version in a way of something that was on my top 10 Scully list, which was Scully's speech before the Senate committee about what's going on in the government.
Yeah.
And this is for me, the Mulder version of that, where he gets a chance to kind of like speak truth to power. And I like the way he does it. He's not like, he doesn't sound like, he, so often Mulder gets, you know, very passionate and excited and people kind of shut down and don't really listen to him because he sounds a little crazy. But he's just very sort of calm and cool and collected, and but he just lays it down. And, you know, he does it with some passion, but he keeps it reined in, and it just makes it all the more sort of incisive and all the more cutting for that. And it's like, boom, you just own their asses. And it's a great, it's like we wanted to stand up and cheer. I remember when the first time when we watched that, because it's just a really great Mulder moment. And, you know, anytime Mulder ends any little speech with the truth, I am going to love it. And so I love that speech. I love that moment. That's like Mulder is, he's just standing up for himself and his beliefs in a really effective way. And so that's why it's my number 7.
That's a great one, and kind of hidden in an episode that maybe a lot of people skip or people that don't remember. Like, it is really, and I, we talked about that pretty recently, I know, on our mythology series when we were going through Fallen Angel, which we both agreed was a really good episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really good one. And you're right. It is nice to see him going in there, just no shit's given. And he's like, look, I'm just going to say what I got to say and then see where the cards will lay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I really like that Mulder. And even though he can be irresponsible in moments like this, you know, he's doing the right thing. So that's a really good pick. I really like it.
Yeah, and he's and at that point in the episode, he thinks he's pretty sure he's going to get fired or something. Something major is going to happen to him that's going to negatively affect his career. And it's only the intervention of Deep Throat that prevents that. But yet he still is like letting it all out. He's not holding anything back. And it's just very sort of admirable.
And that's probably why. I mean, he probably is assuming, hey, I'm going to get fired anyway, so I might as well just go off. And he
doesn't go out with a bang.
He doesn't really realize that he's sort of Teflon. You know, like he's
it's
never
still very early.
Nothing's going to stick with Mulder. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. At that point, I kind of thought he was going to get fired, too. So, yeah, it was just like a good opportunity for him to say something like that. And he does.
Really good.
So
one.
That's my number 7. What is yours?
So my number 7, Revival Mulder.
Yay.
This is my Founder's Mutation moment, because this is a moment when Scully and Mulder are in the hospital, like visiting the girl, the pregnant girl or whatever, mm-hmm. and they leave. And then Scully's sort of starting to realize that maybe this is what happened to her, which is, you know, sort of what maybe might transpire later on in the revival, that she was an incubator, quote unquote. And she comes out and she's really concerned about this. She's like, was that all I was, an incubator? And you know what? I can't do it justice, so let's hear Mulder say his phenomenal line.
I'm not a fragile little girl.
Scully.
This is what you suspected all along, but were afraid to articulate. Is this what you believe happened to me 15 years ago? When I got pregnant? When I had my baby? Was I just an incubator?
You're never just anything to me, Scully.
Oh, God. Both Jeff and I are now crying.
Oh, my God.
I know. You know, it's moments like this. I mean, this is definitely like Revival Mulder saying things that are kind of overtly romantic, mm-hmm. that we didn't really get a lot of that, obviously, in the run of the series. We didn't get any of this. Yeah. And so it's kind of nice. I mean, we all can hate on Chris Carter for the breakup or whatever. But I mean, Mulder has to sort of like woo her back in a way. Like he's gotta say these things and he's gotta mean them. And what I love about this particular line is that it's the first time in the revival, like even in like My Struggle One, like we are like Mulder's, you know, he's kind of butthurt about it. He's being a little bit of a dick, and he doesn't like being dumped by Scully. It's not fun to be dumped by Scully. So he's kind of like not really great. But here you see that he's kind of shaping up. And he's like, look, I am going to need to be the person that she wants to be with again to get her back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or to make her trust me again, or to make her know that I care. And I think when Mulder is very overt with his feelings, it's kind of rare. I would say it's pretty very rare. And this, I think, I can't think of a whole, I mean, there's a ton actually of things that he says that are kind of romantic, but like, this is very overtly romantic.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, I am telling you, you mean everything to me. I mean, he may as well be saying that you mean everything to me. And what I also love about it is that it encompasses all of the things that they are. It's not, you're not just my partner. You're not just my friend. You're not just my lover, my wife, because let's just say it. You're not just any of these things. You're all of it. And it's such a nice thing to hear. Mm. Two episodes into the revival, my little shipper heart was beating wildly. So that's my number seven.
So good, because, you know, yeah, at that point in the revival, we were needing something like, you know, throw us a bone here. Please tell us that things are going to be okay between Mulder and Scully. And so we were kind of back in the mindset that we were always in like the early seasons, when there was so little between Mulder and Scully that was overt, and we got like super stoked for anything. And so we were in that mindset again. So to get something like this was like, oh my God. And yeah, I think that Mulder sort of says coded things a lot, or does things a lot, that obviously shows that he loves Scully, but he doesn't often articulate it that clearly. And to hear it articulated that clearly and so beautifully and beautifully done, that whole scene is great. Just gets me right in the heart in the best possible way. So that is a really great choice. Founder's Mutation, maybe, I think sometimes we kind of, I know maybe I underestimate it as an episode sometimes, because it's actually quite a good episode, has some really good moments, and that is an excellent one. So excellent choice. I appreciate your number seven very much.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for that.
Let's hear your number six.
All right, so we're going to go back in time to season two Mulder, and he was not quite as perhaps emotionally mature, and perhaps the way that he would show his love for Scully is by yelling at people a lot. So this is when, in One Breath, when he finds that Scully has been admitted to the hospital,
Jen,
running down the hall.
That is my number six.
Is that your number six?
Yes.
We finally found one that we have in common, and they're both the same number.
Amazing.
All right, we can share this one then. So I would like to play the clip, because we have to hear the full scope of him losing his shit. Let's hear it.
How did she get here?
So, please.
How did she get here?
Miss Scully was in this condition when I arrived for the evening shift. If you step outside, perhaps Dr. Daly.
Is that Daly? Are you Dr. Daly? What the hell is going on? How did she get here?
She settled down.
Was it paramedics, FBI, military? Answer me right now!
She just signed right away.
What, you're telling me she just appeared?
Sir,
who did this to her?
Sir.
I want to see her admission forms. Who did this to her? I want to see what has to be done. Listen, if you're with them, if you're hiding anything, I swear I will do anything. Whatever it takes, I'll find out what they did to her.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I like my Mulder. You know, slightly losing his shit over his woman is...
More than slightly.
Yeah, let's just go with completely losing his shit, like to the point that he's literally being dragged away at the end of the scene and he's still yelling.
And in front of her mom, too.
And right in front of her mom, and she's just lying there.
She knows.
She knows. Oh, yeah. No, Mrs. Scully shipped it, most definitely. It's just, I love it. I always loved it. He's wearing a very cute little black turtleneck, and he's just so, like, overwrought. He's overwrought, and he's being really, like, protective of her, and I love it. And he turns out to be right. I mean, he's not just ranting about nothing. No one, in the end, it turns out that no one does know how she showed up at the hospital or what happened to her. So
I forgot
he was
about,
right to be mad.
I forgot about the turtleneck.
The turtleneck is a key part of the scene, quite frankly.
Yeah, you've given me the feels.
I've
gotten distracted, and I actually tuned out after you said that. But
yeah, good. That's okay.
The good thing is that I'm sure that it's the same thing I would have said. So.
Yeah. So what kind of reflections would you like to make on the scene, since it's also your number six?
Well, I don't know, Jen, because now I'm stuck on that black turtleneck.
I mean, you can just talk about the black turtleneck if you want to.
I can't think of anything else.
He looks very cute in that episode.
I think that it's worth mentioning, because, and since we had the same number six, then I'm going to go on and continue to talk about another moment in this episode that almost
made me. All right, let's do
it. Because I think, again, this is a really good example of a good Mulder, because it's and I want to say good in terms of it's every single possible emotion you could ever get from Mulder you see in this episode. It runs the gamut. Like, you have angry Mulder, you have grieving Mulder, you have happy Mulder, you have like really sort of kick-ass Mulder. You're like, you have every single version of Mulder in one breath, and it's just it's great. And while this, I think, is definitely this is his peak moment, I think, in this episode, because it's just so overt. Like, oh my god, who brought Scully in? I need to know. And he's screaming and he's crazy. The other moment that I think is worth mentioning is when he goes to see her in the hospital, because it's definitely not the sort of thing that Mulder would do, but something that Melissa says to him gets through to him, and he realizes that he can't change this. It's like, nothing he does is going to bring her back. Like, he can't do anything about it. So the only thing he can do is be there for her. And yet again, it's just such a really, really nice moment that he gets to go in, and it's a nice counterpoint to the moment that we're talking about for our number six.
Absolutely.
That you see that there's this softness to him. So.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, those are really interesting bookend scenes to show kind of Mulder's two sides, in a sense. And even like the little arc he goes on just within that episode, which is like really a brilliant arc for Mulder. And that sort of scene near the end where he goes to see Scully and says, "I'm here." Almost going to cry again.
I know.
That came really close to making my list too. I was like, I was 50-50 about which one of those two moments from One Breath I was going to use. But in the end, I couldn't resist the yelling Mulder. So I had to use that one. But
I really love angry Mulder. Yeah.
I love angry, like righteous anger on behalf of his woman. Mulder is one of my favorite Mulders.
Yep.
And love that scene. I've just always loved that scene. But the one where he visits her is also a great scene, and just shows, you know, the other side of Mulder, which is also very, very adorable and also very, very beautiful. And those are two great scenes in One Breath. I mean, we could name many more from One Breath, because Mulder's very appealing in that episode, because, you know, it's a Mulder episode, essentially.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I love that scene. That's my number six and your number six. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about that, Annie?
I mean, no, I think we pretty much said in all of it. I can't talk, but I am just really, really glad that you reminded me about the black turtleneck. So thank you.
Let's just all reflect on that. I think that, you know, after you finish listening to the podcast, just take a moment, meditate on the black turtleneck for a little while.
I'm definitely going to go find some screenshots. That's what I'm going to do. That's going to be my first activity.
Absolutely. Look at the black turtleneck. He's wearing it with blue jeans. I like the combination. It's not something we see very often. Anytime you're feeling a little stressed, just think about Mulder and the black turtleneck, and all will be well. So that's going to be my new meditation.
I
love it. On to number five now. So we have found one that we've had in common.
Yeah.
Let's see. I feel like in my top five, there's a very good chance there will be a couple that you will have, but we shall see.
We shall see.
My number five is from season three. It's an episode called Pusher.
Ooh.
I thought you might have this. I'm glad to hear that you don't. This is the scene, again, near the end, where Mulder is facing off with Modell and trying to resist Modell's influence. And the sheer force of will that Mulder has to show in this scene is so impressive, because, I mean, like, we've seen throughout the episode that Modell is able to, he can force someone to set himself on fire. He can do anything. No one can resist this man. And Mulder is just like, he's just sweating, trying to resist. You can just see, even though his face is very placid, it's a credit to Duchovny's acting that you can see he is just putting everything into resisting him. And he can't resist. He's unable to resist when Mulder is supposed to pull the trigger on the gun on himself. He does it. He can't resist that. But when it comes to pulling the gun on Scully and pulling the trigger on her, he can resist that. And that moment when he says, "Scully, run," it's just like, oh, it just gets me every time, because he is doing it for her and he cares more about her life than his own, because that's when he can summon up the strength to really resist this, and when Scully's able to kind of break him out of it completely. And I just love it. I love it. It's just, it's his mental strength that's like powered by his love for Scully. And I love that sort of moment. So that is one of my favorite Mulder moments.
That is amazing. Amazing moment. It came close to my list. It definitely was. Nice. It's on my short list, but it just didn't quite crack the top 10, maybe because we talk about Pusher a lot, but it's definitely a great moment. And yeah, the fact that it's another of those moments where, like, Duchovny, it's not like he's being subtle, because he's clearly under like a huge amount of duress, but he's doing such a good job of acting. It's just another one of those moments that you just don't even notice it, because he's doing such a good job. Even like the part, like you said, when he's like, "Scully, run," and then he's kind of like, "Scully," like he can't, he can't even get the word out, because he's like, why aren't you running? You need to run. Like, and it's great moment. What a wonderful moment. And yeah, he does end up beating it. You know, and that is a really, really good one. And I, you've pretty much said everything. And I know we talked about that. I don't remember. Maybe we talked about that when we were talking about our top episodes, because I know we talked
quite
about
possibly.
Pusher. But it's a great scene. And
I love it.
Definitely came close to mine. So
nice. What is your top five? Your number five.
Okay, my number five is from season 8. We didn't get a whole lot of Mulder in season 8, but
we did not.
We did get a very important moment in season 8 in the episode Permanum. Let's hear it.
Obviously, you've had some time to think about my request.
It's not something that I get asked to do every day, but I am absolutely flattered. Honestly.
Look, if you're trying to politely say no, it's okay. I understand.
See, as weird as this sounds, and this sounds really weird, I know, but I just wouldn't want this to come between us.
Yeah, no, I understand. I do.
But the answer is yes.
So we've known for years that Scully's sort of been wanting to have a kid, a baby, and can't. And that she finally finds out that she can, this sort of last chance. And she doesn't even really think about it. She just kind of is like, I know who I'm going to ask. Just don't know how to ask him. And this moment here is Mulder. We don't get a lot of we don't get a lot of scenes between them, period, in terms of this personal stuff. And we don't get to see her actually ask him. And we don't get to see what he actually responds. Like, clearly he says something to her along the lines of, I need to think about it, because he's obviously going to think about it. But then when he comes back, this is such a cool moment, because I always wonder every time I watch it, if he is making up his mind in the moment. Do you ever think that? And I don't want to make that sound like I don't think that he would had come in there to say no, but it always strikes me as like that he's feeling her out a little. And then when he realizes how disappointed that she is, that she thinks he's going to say no, he's like, no, I'm not going to let her be disappointed. And I don't want this to come across like I think didn't want to say no, because absolutely he's not going to say yes to something he didn't want to say yes to. But I just think he's very good in this scene, kind of calculating her emotions and feeling her out and doing and saying the exact right thing at the exact right moment. And you can see it on her face how relieved she is that he's agreed to this. And I just think, seriously, Scully's asking about Mulder's sperm back in season 4. You know what I mean? Like, this is a moment that we've been waiting for.
She has coveted that sperm for a while.
She really has. She's been after it. I mean, I can't blame her. But, at a certain point, she says, or at a certain point, this scene comes around, which is still amazing to me. I remember the first time I watched this episode, I was like, this is a thing that happened on the X-Files? What? Like, I still can't believe it. But the fact that he agreed to that for Scully, I think is one of his most, I just think it's just such a nice, mature, selfless, amazing moment for Mulder. And so his agreeing to be Scully's baby daddy, alien baby daddy, is my number five moment.
That's a great moment. You know, sometimes I forget about those flashbacks in Permanum because my brain cannot compute that that actually happened on the X-Files because it's just like, it's just so sweet. And because it happened in flashback as well, it's like, this happened and we didn't even know. We're just finding out now. How dare you hide this fabulous content from us? Yeah. But hey, better late than never because some stuff we never get to see. And yeah, you're right. It's interesting the way it's written, the structure that they use, in the sense that we miss the initial conversation, which one would think would be the dramatic conversation when Scully brings it up. But I don't long for that conversation because the one where he says yes does feel like there's something happening there. It's not just a conversation where he walks in and says, hey, that thing you want me to do, I'll do it, because that would be pretty boring. But right. It doesn't feel like it doesn't play that way.
There's so much going on here.
There's a lot going on. And it feels like, okay, let's just skip the boring part where she asks him and get to the really juicy sort of dramatic part where there's like something going on in terms of the communication between them about this decision. And so I think that it works really well on that level. And yeah, it pops into my head sometimes, just that line where the answer is yes. Like, it's just one of those lines that just sticks with me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just comes into my head sometimes when I'm saying yes to something and I think the answer is yes. And I love it. It's a great, great moment. And yeah, great Mulder moment. Like, was that even real life? That was just so great. And yeah, season 8, it's not full of Mulder moments, but it's all about quality and not quantity. And that is a high quality choice. So well done.
Thank you.
Nice. That was your number five. So we're on to my number four.
We are. We're getting top tier here.
These are all like really, for me, these top four could have been really interchangeable because I really love them all. My number four, going back to season one again. And from the episode Squeeze. So quite early, this is like episode 3 or 4, something like that. And 3, Annie's telling me because she knows everything. And it's the moment when they find Eugene Toombs' nest. And it's just because we all know that Mulder has a lot of very funny one-liners, and some of them I wonder to what degree David Duchovny ad-libbed them, but either way, he always delivers them really well, and this is just one of my favorites, because they find Eugene Toombs' nest, Mulder just kind of reaches his hand in, because that's the kind of thing that Mulder does, and Scully realizes it smells like, I think it's bile, and Mulder says, is there any way I can get it off my fingers quickly without betraying my cool exterior? Which I just always love that line because it's a quip. It's a funny quip, but you can tell he is actually freaked out at the same time. So he's trying to be cool about it, but he really does look like he's totally freaked by the bile on his hands, and who wouldn't be? So I just always found that like a hilarious and charming moment as he tries to be cool to his new beautiful partner and really doesn't quite pull it off. And so I find that very amusing. So that's why it's my number four.
That's a really good one. I do. He doesn't taste it in that, right?
I don't think he tastes it.
We know Mulder likes to taste evidence. Okay, thank God.
He didn't taste that.
But what I think is so funny about that line, and I think this every time I watch it, is that he's got bile on his finger, and he has the presence of mind to have a rather long quip before he decides to wipe it off. He says the whole thing and then he wipes it off. And I get it that, okay, this is a TV show and it's supposed to be funny, and it's actually timed out very well. He has a really good comedic timing, but it just, and I can forgive it because I'm always like, well, it's already on your finger, so I get, what's a couple more seconds to get this joke out? But it's just funny to me because he's like, no, I really want the bile off, but I really need to get this joke out first. That's more important. And that's very Mulder.
Yeah,
it's very Mulder, so I love it.
It really is. It's like, yeah, I can put up with the bile a few seconds longer if I get to tell this awesome joke.
Right. So, and I'm sure she just fell in love with him a little more, so it's okay.
And why wouldn't you? Because yeah. God knows I did. So
that's a really good one.
That's my number four. What's your number four, Annie?
Okay, my number four is in Memento Mori. And... Ooh. and this is kind of a random obscure moment. It's probably not the moment you're thinking of, but this is it. He's in there. He's in like the offices of something. I'm trying to remember the plot. That one's, I haven't seen it in a while, with the Kurt Crawford clone, and they're looking for evidence. And yeah. Scully has decided that she needs to go to the doctor and get looked at and everything. And she calls him up on the phone, and they have a little conversation. Let's hear it.
Mulder, I need you to come up here.
Why, did you find something there?
I need you to bring the overnight bag from the trunk of the car.
And I need you to call my mother and ask her to bring up some things from the hospital.
Is there anything I should know?
Mulder, whatever you found.
Or whatever you might find.
I think that we both know that right now the truth is in me. And that's where I need to pursue it. As soon as possible.
I will be right there.
So, the I will be right there. That really sticks with me because we're used to Mulder ditching Scully and doing his own thing and putting the work first and doing all the stuff. And again, I'm not saying that he does this all the time, but he does it frequently enough for this moment to stand out to me that yep. In this moment, he drops everything, puts her first. He needs to go. And it's like a rare moment of sort of self-awareness. And I really like that he's like, no, this is a serious shit. I need to actually just go and be there for Scully and do what she's asking me to do. And this stuff can wait. Like, and you know, we don't get that from him a lot. So, and it's a very quick, brief moment. I don't really have a whole lot more to say about it than that. But I think it's important enough to be really, really high up on my list. So that's my number four.
That is such a good number four. Just the way he says, I will be right there. It's like so heartbreaking because it's just, you can just, he's trying to hold it together and having a really hard time doing it. And it gets me every time. And he literally just walks right out of the room as soon as he finishes.
Yeah.
As soon as he hangs up, I don't think he says anything to anyone. He just goes.
He just goes. And you can't see it, obviously, on the podcast, but even Scully's reaction it's not surprised, but it's just sort of pleased. Good. Yeah. He's going to do this.
Yeah. He's going to do that. Okay.
Yeah. And it's just, it's such a nice little moment in a fantastic episode. So good.
Oh yeah. It's a heartbreaker for me. Boy, you're bringing the angst tonight, Annie, and I love it.
I know my audience.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it very much. So excellent, excellent choice. Number three, we're into the top three. So far, we still only have one in common, and I will eat my hair if, you have this one on your list, but we'll see.
Okay.
It's from season six, episode Monday.
Wow.
I love Monday.
I love Monday too. Yeah. It's a good one.
And the moment that I'm thinking of is when Mulder figures out what's going on. He figures out the time loop and he believes Pam when she tells him that they have been living this conversation over and over and over again. Obviously they've had it many times. He took him a while to catch on and to believe her. But what I love about it is, you know, she's very sort of, she's almost like at a point of hopelessness and just like very intense and pleading with him, saying, we're all in hell. I'm the only one who knows it. And it's just so heartbreaking. And what I love about it is that that's what gets Mulder's attention, I think, is just her sense of desperation.
Being alone, yeah.
And being alone and no one believing her and being in trouble. And that always gets to Mulder. Mulder is always attracted to people like that who are in trouble. No one believes them, and it's something that seems unbelievable, and he doesn't quite believe her yet. He hasn't quite caught on to the whole thing yet, but he listens. He listens to her, and it's the beginning of him putting the puzzle together that eventually winds up ending the loop. And it's just, that's kind of, I really like that aspect of Mulder. We see it many times throughout the series where he will listen to people that no one else will listen to. And he is always open-minded, and the fact that, you know, the fact that he is able to figure this out, he's showing his intelligence, the strength of his instincts, and his open-mindedness and his compassion. And we see all of that, and that those things always drive him in every case, I think. And I particularly like the way it is on display in this particular episode, probably because I love the episode, but I also just love Mulder's reaction and how he deals with this nearly impossible situation and nearly unbelievable situation. But Mulder's the only person, I think, that could figure this out and that would even listen to this person. And so I love that. I love that aspect of Mulder. It's my number three.
That's a good one. I think that's what's so good about this episode is that I feel like it has to be Mulder. I mean, even at a certain point, she says that, like, if it were anyone else, then she might have been stuck in this time loop forever. It's like he's the only one in this group of people that she interacts with on the day-to-day basis who is going to listen and going to believe her. And I think in a way, it's like it makes this a really important Mulder episode. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think everything that you've said is really, really true and accurate and a good, it's a very good display of his compassion and all of those things. And I don't really think of Monday like often when I'm like just thinking of episodes that I really like. But when I do think of it, I'm like, yeah, I really do like Monday a lot for many reasons. Another great Mulder moment in Monday is those yellow pajama pants, which deserve a mention, right? I mean, that is a huge Mulder moment. But
that is, and over and over again, we get to enjoy it.
Yes,
in many different ways.
Yes,
it's a great episode in so many ways. I really love Monday too, actually. So yeah. Now I'm like you with the black turtleneck. All I can think about is the yellow pajamas. I've gone into some kind of a weird sort of trance state.
Yeah, it's not a bad state to be in.
It's a pretty good one, actually. So
join me,
take
Jen.
Yes. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. So yeah, woo-hoo. What is your number three, Annie?
All right, my number three is from season 7 from the episode Orison. And this is the end of the episode when he figures it out. He comes to save Scully and she ends up shooting Donnie Faster. And the moment that I'm talking about is the moment at the end where he is just being super, super supportive.
The Bible allows for vengeance.
But the law doesn't.
The way I see it, he didn't give you a choice. And my report will reflect that, in case you're worried. Donnie Faster would have surely killed again if given the chance.
Like, he's totally covering for her, saying, you don't need to worry about getting in trouble. I'm not going to rat on you. You know, and not that we would ever expect Mulder to do that, but, like, it's just really, really nice to see him say that to her as her partner. It's very much sort of like, I've got your back. I'm not going to let you go down for something like this, so don't worry about it. And even when she explains to him that, like, no, that's not actually what I'm worried about, he's there again for her to be like, you should not feel bad about this. You did the right thing. You know, like, he's being perfect with her at the end of this episode. I don't know if it's just like 7 years of them kind of having this partnership, and Scully almost expects him to say that, not in like a taking for granted way, but in like a, well, of course you're going to cover for me. Of course you're going to back me up, which I really love that because it just shows their comfort, their ease with one another, and the strength of their partnership. And I just think that that's such a really, really nice small little scene at the end of a really sort of intense climax of I think a pretty good episode. I don't like the whole episode, but I definitely like the last part of this episode. So that's my number three.
That's a great number three. I sometimes forget how awesome those last few scenes are because I'm not a huge fan of the episode generally, but yeah, there's no question those last scenes are just so great. And yeah, Mulder's so awesome. Mulder just really rises to the occasion when Donnie Faster's around, I have to say. And he gets it, and we can see that he has a real understanding of the impact that this guy has on Scully. He got it the first time around. He got it the second time around. And yeah, that is a great scene. And it's just, there's just a lot of emotion flowing between them there that you can see. And yeah, I love that. I haven't watched Orson in ages, and I need to watch it again soon, because that is a great moment. And yeah, it's just like, it's the Mulder you want to have around. And he's just being a really good supportive guy at that moment and in every respect.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a very appealing Mulder. Really great choice.
And it didn't even occur to me until just now that like these are sort of like at parallel ends of my list, like my Irresistible's number 8 and this is my number 3, and it didn't even occur to me that that's the same nice. Sort of he's comforting the same situation that didn't.
Yeah.
So thanks for bringing that up, because that didn't even really occur to me when I was making
I really
the
like that.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of it. So yeah, good point. Love it. A slightly more sort of like obscure moments, but I'm really glad you brought it up. Now, my number 2.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Okay, so we're down to like the final 4 at this point. My top 2, your top 2.
And we've only had one in common.
And
right?
We've only had one in common so far.
Wow, okay.
What's going to happen with these two? All right. My number 2 is from a movie called Fight the Future.
Mine is from Fight the Future as well. And
your
I wonder.
Number 2?
Yes. And I wonder if we have the same moment.
Okay. I'm going to say the scene that mine is from. And we'll see if it's the same scene as yours. My scene takes place in a hallway.
And mine does not.
All right. So we have still 2 different ones. Great.
Yes.
Because Mulder does some terrific things throughout Fight the Future. And
he
I had a hard time
does.
Narrowing it down. But this is my favorite MSR moment. It's probably my favorite scene in the X-Files. So I had to pick it because Mulder has a big part of this. So this, of course, is the hallway scene when Scully is about to leave the FBI and Mulder pursues her from his apartment and almost smooches her before a bee gets in the way. But it's just the way Mulder pours his heart out to her is so beautiful. We all know it very well, but let's listen to the clip anyway.
Why did they assign me to you in the first place, Mulder? To debunk your work, to rein you in, to shut you down.
But you saved me. As difficult and as frustrating as it's been sometimes, your goddamn strict rationalism and science have saved me 1,000 times over. You kept me honest. You made me a whole person. I owe you everything. Scully, you owe me nothing.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I just can't get enough of Mulder saying that. So that's why I just really had to put the clip in, because, God, I love Mulder in that moment, because he's really like, he's being so open, so vulnerable with her. It's still, you know, quite early on, this kind of thing we see from Mulder a little bit more in later seasons. But at this point, it was shocking. And even compared with later seasons, it's still kind of shocking. Just the fact that he follows her out of the apartment in the first place. There's that moment where he kind of like, he's like hemming and hawing. Should I follow her? What should I do? And I love the fact that he goes after her and that he just spills his heart out to her and really shows what she means to him, which he has never shown her up until now. Certainly not this clearly or this articulately. And I love it. I am all about words of affirmation when it comes to love languages. And so that gets me every time. I just love it. Love, love, love it. The near kiss is hot and fantastic. But honestly, it's Mulder's speech that really gets me every time. So I love that. He looks particularly good in a particular version of a gray t-shirt in that scene as well. So that's my number 2 from Fight the Future.
That's amazing. I should tell you that before we started recording, this moment was originally my number 2. And as I was, and as I was looking through the list, I was like, I thought of another moment, which is going to be my moment.
All
and I was
right.
like, you know what? I think that the moment I'm going to say in my own mind actually kind of has to take precedence. And I also know, I knew this would probably be on your list. And we've also talked about it so much that I was like, okay,
yeah.
I'm going to pick something else. So great pick. Obviously, I agree with it. I mean, this is the first time that Mulder is telling Scully with actual words that he values her. And so I think that this is a phenomenal and very important Mulder moment. So, yes.
So
well done.
Great.
Well done.
What's your Fight the Future moment?
My pick, though, is from the same movie. And I just wrote travels to the ends of the earth to save his woman. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't think of another. I mean, Scully gets to do it for him when she goes to Africa. They literally both get to travel halfway around the world for each other. So I like that we have some sort of equality on that front. But I can't think of another like pure, like, you know, shoe leather in terms of Mulder having to go super, 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 super far to save Scully's life and to go through so much hell to do it. Then in Fight the Future. I can't think of a bigger and better example. So him literally going to the ends of the earth to save her life is my number two top 10 Mulder moment.
That is great. I definitely thought about that as well as a possibility for my list. It's everything, because we do see Mulder sort of going to the far flung reaches of the globe from time to time on the X-Files, but in pretty much every other instance, it's because he's pursuing some version of the truth.
Yeah.
And not because he's trying to save Scully. So it's nice to see him just throw himself into a journey and a mission for the sake of saving Scully. So it's beautiful. I love it when Mulder takes all of his intensity and passion and just directs it towards trying to save Scully. And yeah, if I can pick someone to come after me in Antarctica, it would definitely be Mulder, because that guy is going to let nothing stop him. And he did not. He's just like, he's going to make it happen. And he does. He is a very focused, intense person when he has a goal. And the goal is to save Scully, and he's doing it. And yeah, I love it.
And looking sexy while doing it.
Looking hot, got the scruff going on. Yeah. I like him in winter gear. What can I say? I'm a Canadian. And yeah, great choice.
Thank you.
I'm just thinking about wintry Mulder and how hot that is too. Very good choice. Well done.
Well, we are down to our number ones here, Jen. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how certain are you that we have the same number one?
I'm going to say 7. Scale of 1 to 10. I'm going to say 7. I'm not feeling super,
confident. If you're not certain, then I'm going to say that we don't.
Okay. That's interesting.
So
that's
let's hear
interesting
it.
Interesting twist. All right. Let's see. I'm going to watch your face for reactions as I unveil the various aspects of my number one. It's from The Revival.
Okay. So is mine.
So is yours. It's from season 11.
Uh-huh.
It's from the second last episode of season 11.
Uh-huh.
That episode is called Nothing Lasts Forever.
Oh, yes.
And the specific scene is the final scene of that episode.
Oh, Jen.
Which takes place in a church.
How are you not certain that we had the same number one? Like, I knew the second I wrote this down that this was going to be your number one.
I knew this. At one point, I was quite sure it would be yours. But then all of a sudden, I remembered how much you enjoy Mulder murdering that guy in My Struggle 3. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, oh my God, it's going to be Mulder murdering that guy. That's going to be Eddie's number one. But it actually isn't even on your list. So that shows how wrong I was about that.
It came close.
At one point, I did think this would be it.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it, because it's definitely worth hearing.
Let's hear it.
It's not what I was talking about.
What are we talking about, Scully? Because I don't know if any God is listening, but I am standing right here. And I am listening. Right beside you. That's my choice.
So yeah, let's just all enjoy Mulder at his very best, in my opinion. I mean, the Mulder of The Revival is the best Mulder, and to me, this moment is the best Mulder of The Revival, where he is just being so very present for Scully. He's just there for her. He's being, you know, selfless, supportive. He is being self-aware. He's got his shit together, and he's not going to let the subject drop.
Yes.
You know, Scully's being kind of evasive, and that's because that's the way they so often communicate. I mean, we've said before that this is kind of like the sort of opposite of their conversation in Plus One in the bed, where they're both being kind of evasive.
Yeah.
And this is kind of Mulder cuts through that bullshit and is like, I'm not going to let you get away with it, because, you know, Scully's like, that's not what I'm talking about. And instead of just the usual going in circles, he's just cutting right to it and says, well, what are you talking about? Let's get right down to it. I'm here for you. This is, I'm going to put it all out, putting my cards on the table. And yeah, it's Mulder leading the way in terms of, let's be straight here. Let's be straight with each other. And for once, let's just be up front. And I love it. And I love how beautiful he's being in that scene and how supportive he's being. And David Duchovny does an amazing, amazing job. I love the music. I love everything about that scene. Shout out once again to Karen Nielsen, who wrote that episode. And I love everything about it. And I love, love, love that scene. I want to marry that Mulder right now because he's so awesome. And probably Scully did too. So I love that. I love everything about it. And that's why it's my number one.
I mean, you've really said it all. I mean, I know we've talked about this moment. We've talked about season 11 Mulder, revival Mulder. We will continue to talk about him until the cows come home. The alien cows come home. What would be our metaphor?
The cow mutilations come home. The mutilated cows.
There we go. The mutilated cows come home. Perfect. Love it. Yeah. But like, it really is the Mulder that we've waited so long to see. And I mean, I say this all the time that, but like, it's just this really, really nice. And it's not even like overtly romantic. We don't really know exactly what they're saying. We don't know what Scully's saying. It's just for them. But the fact is that she's saying it. She's finally telling him what he's asking, and they're communicating. And I love the idea that he is, like you said, he's just cutting through the bullshit. He's saying, I am right here. I am right next to you. That's my choice. And it's like, finally, in the end, he's making the choice that it's just going to be her. And I'm like, I've gone around and around, and I don't even know if we really talked about what we both kind of think that she's whispering to him. And I've thought about it a lot. And I have like a lot of different theories and a different headcanons. Mm-hmm. But like, in a roundabout way, I think that the gist of what she's telling him is that, like, we're done with the darkness. No more darkness. Mm-hmm. Because of the whole concept of the candles and the lighting of the candle and all that. And I feel like that is very, very poignant for the two of them, because I feel like that's always what Scully has been trying to say to him for years. And then he says, I always wondered how this was going to end. And so I feel like that's his way of saying, you're right. We're done.
Yeah.
Like we're done. And that's another reason why I feel like, although my struggle four was the last episode of the season, everything that happens in that episode kind of happens to them. So, I mean, they don't go out like looking for X-Files. Like the only, and he literally says to her, this is our last best chance. It's kind of like, this is our last attempt. And so I could have done without that episode at all. I know so many people say that the end of Nothing Lasts Forever would have just been a perfect ending to the series. Mulder and Scully calling it quits. Like, that's what we've been waiting for a long ass time. Yeah. And that's still how I interpret it, even with my struggle for. And I still think I can interpret it that way.
Absolutely.
But what's your interpretation, since we're talking about it? I'm kind of curious.
About what Scully says?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually at one point had a spreadsheet going on in terms of what elements did I think had to be present for her to what are the elements that would motivate her to say something at that moment. So I have a lot of different theories. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's just something along the lines of her making a commitment to Mulder in some concrete fashion. I'm not sure exactly what form that takes. But it's something where she's committing to him and committing to them. Mm-hmm. And that's the leap of faith that she's taking. So something along those lines, that's always kind of the way I took it. And I've always been, I've also been really curious about that line from Mulder, but I've always wondered how this was going to end or something like that. I really like the way you're sort of bringing in the concept of light and dark, because that has so often been imagery that they've used in their relationship. And I hadn't really thought about it in that context with the candles, but I think it's a really good point that, you know, maybe it's the darkness that is ending and it's all light from there on out. And of course, Scully's candle blows out and Mulder relights it. So, you know, you need the two of them. They both together have to bring the light. And I love everything about that imagery. And I love the part where Mulder says, I may not believe in God, but I believe in you, which to me is the essence of their relationship. Neither of them believes in the faith of the other, but they believe in each other and yeah. that's all that matters. And so I love every aspect of
that. Oh, God. So. And then the April's, what does he say? Reason and faith and harmony.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
It's reason and faith and harmony.
That's them. I mean, it's just so perfect. Like everything about that conversation is so good. And there's so much packed into it. I mean, it's a pretty long mm-hmm. scene. It's really rare that we get such a long scene of just the two of them talking.
Yeah. About themselves.
About themselves and their issues. And this yeah. just, it just gave us all of that for like 5 minutes.
So yeah. good. Yeah. And Mulder's doing most of the talking, I think. And I think Duchovny does an amazing job in this scene. I think it's just
yeah.
so beautifully done. So the dialogue is so well written, I think. And I mean, just the things that Mulder's talking about that Scully had to give up for him breaks my heart every time. And it's just, it's beautifully done. And it really, and it's just one of those moments that we get so rarely where something actually happens between Mulder and Scully that changes their relationship. It isn't just kind of, you know, things being kind of vague, things being left up in the air. It is, of course, the X-Files, and so we need a bit of vagueness, so we don't know exactly what Scully said.
Right.
But there is a sense of something clearly changing, and I love that. It's very beautiful, and it, again, I think Mulder's the one who's initiating it.
Yes, absolutely. And again, like the language of this show, as vague as it is, I mean, I don't think it can be any clearer than that final shot with the candle. Like mm-hmm. It's a really nice way to be like, all right, well, we're not going to give you a kiss because we hate you, but we're gonna give you this candle. You guys,
here, have a candle.
Here's your candle, guys. And I mean, in a way that not that I'm saying I don't necessarily think that scene needed a kiss again. And we've talked about this a million times. I'm still salty that we never got one in the entire revival, but
yeah,
it didn't necessarily have to be here. But no. I will forever be pissed at that promo department for being so mean to us.
They were horrible.
Yeah. Never. They will never be forgiven ever.
No, never. I will forgive a lot of people on the X-Files. I'll forgive Chris Carter for his sins.
Yeah. Before that promo department. Yeah.
I will never forgive the Fox promo department. That was just cruel.
No, they suck.
They have a lot to answer for, quite frankly.
They really do. And I would love to hear their answers as to why they would be so cruel. That's a terrible
because they got everyone worked up. That's why. And they didn't give a shit about whether it followed through or not, because that's not their problem.
And they also, I think, and I mean, we're joking, but I mean, I'm being serious when I say they actually took away from what was otherwise a beautiful scene.
Absolutely, they did. You're absolutely right.
People were mad. And I think that if they hadn't been...
I was too.
Yeah, we all were mad. And I think that if we hadn't been teased with that kiss, then I think people would have just been like swooning and loving and just appreciating that scene for the beautiful scene that it was.
Exactly.
So they ruined it. And
they
kinda
did.
Never forgive them for it. So
yeah, no, you have to kind of... If you really didn't like that and you haven't watched it in a while and maybe the rage in your heart prevented you from totally emotionally connecting with that scene, I heartily recommend that you go back and rewatch it and come to it with sort of an open mind and a pure heart, and you will find the joy and romance and beauty in that scene that was there all along, but we kind of got screwed around, and so maybe we didn't totally always absorb it the first time through. But it always gets better on rewatch for myself, and I've rewatched it many times.
Jen, I think we had a really, really solid list here.
And this was good, and we only had two in common?
We had two in common.
You were right. You were right.
My optimism paid off.
Your optimism totally paid off.
Although if I hadn't changed my Fight the Future one at the last second, we would have had three. So you know what? Let's call it a draw.
All right. I'm up for that.
But I think these are really great ones. And I've now been put in a Mulder mood. I'm going to go find some turtleneck screen caps, maybe crack a beer and have a bath and enjoy the turtlenecks. Right?
I think so. Absolutely. I think I'm going to go have a look at the yellow jammies myself.
Well, thanks you guys for listening. Tweet at us at XFD Podcast. Let us know your favorite Mulder moments. I'm sure we missed some. And we always like hearing about Mulder. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Absolutely.
So thanks you guys for listening, and we will be back with you again in a couple weeks with another episode of X-Files Diaries. Bye!
Thank you.